Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Like we said, we're glad to have you today. And we're going to jump right into this, and we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1 is where we're going to start. And maybe you're sitting there on your couch. We'll give you a second to find it and get there. But hopefully your family's safe and dry today, and then everything's going good as well as possible. But, man, so many exciting things happening in the church. Circles are going on right now. If you're not involved in one, you should totally get in one. But we're starting a new series today as a church called Word to the Wise. And we're going to be spending the next few weeks going through the book of Proverbs, talking about specifically wisdom. What does the Bible say about it? What does Proverbs say about it? How does it really apply to our lives? The reality is, honestly, probably a lot of us think that we have it and think that we have a lot of it. But I think when we really dive down into the text, we're going to find some things that maybe we've never seen before. Next week, when you come to the building there at MB Cook, we'll have a 31-day devotional that was all written in-house that we want to put in your hands that I really believe is going to bless your life. And so let's just go. Actually, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 is where we're going to go this morning. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says this. It says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands." It says, "Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver and seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. You will gain the knowledge of God, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants the treasure of common sense to the honest, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity." Let's just pray this morning before we get into this and pray that God would speak to us. Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for, God, even in the midst of the storms of our life, God, naturally and spiritually, Lord, you are with us. God, you have something to speak to us today. So, Lord, we pray that, God, this word, Lord, would fall on good ground. Lord, that our hearts, our minds, God, would be open and receptive, Lord, to what you have to say. Father, we love you and give you praise. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As we jump into this series and we talk about it for the next few weeks, hopefully we can begin to really see some things that I think are breezed over in just our normal understanding and in maybe our Christian conversations, but really aren't applied and understood inside of our lives. Proverbs chapter 2, and in my Bible there, at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 2, there's a little subtitle across the top, and it says, "The Benefits of Wisdom." And it goes on down, and verse 2 is where I want you to kind of focus and pay attention. It says this, it says, "Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding." Today, as we talk for just a few moments, I want to talk about that idea of being out of tune. I'm not a musical person really at all. I would like to think that I am, but in my heart, not even like in my heart, like at the surface level, I know that I'm not very musical. And if you've ever, which you have, I'm sure, and it's most painful, honestly, in the church, when somebody is maybe singing a song and they're just off key the whole time, or someone's playing an instrument and the instrument's completely out of tune, and it's really, really painful. For me, in awkward situations, I get really awkward. Not like awkward, like I start telling jokes or like, you know, punching people around me. But I can't look. Like, I just have to look down. Like, I can't, it's the opposite effect of like a car accident. I can't, like, you know, somebody's like, you just can't look away from it. Like, no, if it gets tense and uncomfortable, I will stare at the ground all day long. And it's bad because sometimes we were, you know, in youth ministry for 10 years. And there's a lot of moments, especially with youth bands, where somebody or multiple people or just everyone is out of tune. And just kind of grin and bear it till you get to the end and hope that somebody knows that we've been called to make a joyful noise. But the interesting thing is in our own lives, we can be out of tune. You know, we can be playing the right string, but that string is producing the wrong note. We can have the right intentions, but our intentions still aren't bearing the right fruit. So as we talk about this and we look in Proverbs chapter 2, it gives us here in this verse, it says, "Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding." Meaning that wisdom is not something that we just naturally have or receive. Wisdom is something like a string on a guitar that we have to tune ourselves to. We have to tune our spirit to so that we can hear it correctly. So if that's what wisdom is, And that means that there's a lot of things that are not wisdom, that can be played from the same chord, that can be maybe spoken from the same mouth, but because they're out of tune, they're not coming from a place of wisdom. You know, Proverbs is an amazing book. Most theologians and scholars believe that 29 out of the 31 chapters of Proverbs was written by Solomon. And really what it is it's a collection of Solomon's decisions. It's a collection of his actions, really. Kind of the general consensus is that he didn't sit down and just pen out the book of Proverbs, but it was really those who worked with him, the scribes who listened to him, who heard the lessons that he taught and kind of captured all of these things together and created this collection of work, which is now what we have as Proverbs. Solomon was obviously, the Bible notes him as if not the wisest, one of the wisest men who've ever walked the earth. And here he is, and if for the sake of time, we're not going to dive into Solomon's life and the great mountaintop moments that he had, but the devastating lows. It's interesting because it's like, how could this guy be so wise, but experience some of the great trial and heartache that he did? He got to the point where the Lord basically, like, he became so twisted inside of his own head that he was exiled from his place of leadership and authority, and he became like an animal just roaming in the wilderness. Like, not figuratively, like he had a bad weekend, but like legitimately, he just lived as this like wild man. So how can a guy who is known for his wisdom become someone roaming in a field? Someone whose whole life, reputation, leadership becomes disheveled. It's because at some point along the way, he got out of tune. It's because some point in his life, the thing that was once clear, was once the right note in the right moment, began to be clouded and began to be frustrated. We've got three things for you today that I want to really share for us. As you sit there on your couch or you're watching with some friends or you're in the safety of your own home with your family, that I believe are important for us if we're going to take our life from being out of tune to really walking in the wisdom that God has for us. The first thing I want to give you is this. Is that for us to begin to get our life in tune with what the Lord is saying, the fear of our life has to become focused. It's interesting because you see in chapter 2 again, it says, my child, listen to what I say, treasure the commands, tune your ears to the right understanding, seek after me like you would a hidden treasure. And then in verse 5, it says this, it says, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. It's interesting because the fear of the Lord is something that is egregiously misunderstood. At a surface level, it's like, why would God want us to be fearful of him? And it's not that he wants us to be fearful of him from an intimidation standpoint, but it's that we have a healthy fear of the Lord when we see his wisdom. Really, when we look at the attributes of who he is, his nature, his divine countenance, directly connected to our own flesh, we see the gap. We see the divide. And because I can see my weakness and I can see his strength, there becomes a reverence really for his holiness where I have to fear him because of the wisdom that comes from him. Verse 5, it says, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain the knowledge of God. I love it because it tells us this idea that wisdom comes from gaining knowledge. That as we grow in our wisdom, and as we grow in his character and in his likeness, we then become somebody who resembles him in his knowledge. That the things that we're learning become things that we're practicing. For us to begin to get our life in tune with what God has called us to, we've got to begin to let the fear of our life come into focus. Where we're not fearful of our flesh, but we're fearful of the Lord. We're fearful in the sense that we want to live a life so bad that honors him, that every decision matters, that every day matters, that every moment matters, that every thought matters. That's what we talk about when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, is that we see his wisdom and we see his ways, and it burns something inside of us that says, look, I've got to be like him. I've got to live my life the way he has called me to live my life. Look, when we begin to understand the fear of God, it's because we see the life that he lives. And then when we begin to walk in the fear of the Lord, then our life begins to become in order with the Lord. So then our life, we see his life and then we see his actions and then our life begins to mimic that. I think for us as you know, I've made a lot of dumb decisions in my life. I made a lot of dumb ministry decisions in my life. Great ideas, things you're going to do this and it's going to change everything. And my God, it's going to be amazing. And then it wasn't. And it's because I used my own understanding rather than relying and leaning on the wisdom of the Lord. Often our flesh wants us to react rather than the Spirit calming us, taking a moment to respond. Reaction is always a fruit of the flesh. It's the person saying something that really gets under your nerves, and you just have to say something. You have to say something back in the moment. It's a response of the flesh. It's not a response of wisdom. I'm telling you, 98% of the times, the youth ministry will do this to you, where something crazy happens. And the first thing that my nature wants to do is to call the person up in the moment and be like, what in the world are we doing right now? But I've learned very clearly that if I can take a moment of time, I can listen, especially if I can pray, then I can begin to let my fear of whatever that situation might be come into focus of God's attributes and his nature for my life. Let me give you the second thing. Second thing is this. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 15, it says this. It says, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far from the paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, he knows to stay away. But these people will set an ambush for themselves, for they are trying to get themselves killed. Down in verse 20, it says this. It says, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street and those gathered in front of the city gate. How long will you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? The second thing that we see from the scripture is this, is that our fear begins to become into focus. And the second thing is that the gap is now gone. What I mean by this is that often we've separated God from the world around us. We kind of believe this idea that God is removed from our world. He's removed from our culture. He's somewhere else looking down in displeasure on what he sees. But Proverbs chapter 1 kind of paints a different picture. It says, wisdom shouts in the street. And the Old Testament picture of wisdom is the word. That's what it's talking about. It's the prophecy. It's the word of God. Well, then you can fast forward to John chapter 1, and you know that it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, right? So that lets us know that when we're talking about wisdom in the Old Testament, we're talking about the word, and the word is Jesus. So in these scriptures, when we're looking and we're examining what it means, we're understanding the fact that when we say wisdom, really who we're talking about is the nature, the characteristics, the placement, even if you will, of Jesus. It says that wisdom shouts in the streets. It didn't say that wisdom shouts from the synagogue. It didn't say that wisdom shouts from a high mountain. It says that wisdom shouts in the streets. And it goes on to even talk and reference the fact that it shouts basically right where people were, like at the gates, which was these social gathering spots. Wisdom was in that spot. Jesus was in that spot. And for our life to become in tune, we've got to begin to close the gap between who we are as a human and who we are as a Christian. Those two things are not separate. They are one and the same. We can live a double life, but the reality is that we've all heard the people say that, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And the same thing is true for our own life, is that sometimes our weakest moments really are the best representation of who we actually are. And even sitting here in this room today or sitting on your couch, we can all kind of push back to that statement. Like, it was a mistake. It was one time. But those moments often show the reality of who we are. They often show the gaps in our life. When we begin to allow wisdom to tune our life, the gap is all of a sudden gone. There's no longer a distance between faith and reason. You ever met somebody who just said, well, I'm just a realist? It almost has become it can become an excuse for a lack of faith. I don't have to believe because I just see the facts. You're stating that there's a gap in your life. I don't know how God will because I'm just telling you where I am. Well, wisdom is shouting in the streets. Wisdom is in the middle of our life. She calls to the crowds along the main street. I love the fact that we as a church, we as Christians, get to be the type of people who don't just sit held up in some church somewhere waiting for the world to come to us. But if we are going to operate in wisdom, have our life in tune, be a representation of Jesus, then we have to be not only among the people, but in the street. There can't be a gap in our life. There can't be a gap between faith and reason. And there can't be a gap between the sacred and the secular. Now, look, just go with me on this. Because some people are like, I don't know about this. What are we talking about here? There is a gap. There's a difference between sacred and secular. You ever heard somebody say that they don't listen to secular music? Well, what does that mean, though? Because, that would then have to apply essentially to every area of our life. So that would be like saying, well, I don't shop at secular grocery stores. I only shop at Christian grocery stores. What does that even mean? You don't only shop at, where is the Christian grocery store? It's a guy's truck. He has a farm or something. I don't know. You raise your own food. That's the Christian grocery store. I don't know. But we have these things that we say, well, I don't listen to secular. It's not about whether or not we label it as sacred or secular. It's about the fruit that it bears inside of our life. Does it create a gap in our life? We don't have to label it one or the other. It's not that some things are just labeled as divine. It's just that those things are life-giving. They bear healthy fruit rather than unhealthy fruit. I love that when Jesus taught his disciples, or all the way back to the garden, he told Adam and Eve, he's like, look, you can eat of anything you want. Just don't eat of this tree. And it wasn't because all of these trees were divine and this one tree was just worthless. It was that he knew the fruit, that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would bear. He knew that if they stepped into that moment of time and they ate that fruit, everything would now be different, that it would create a gap in their life. So when we examine our lives, the Bible says that we've been called to be holy like he is holy, meaning that from the music that we listen to, the places we go, the people who we spend time with, the things that we watch, that every single one of those things matters in our life because they bear fruit. They're either creating a gap between us and God, or they're closing the gap between us and God. So when we get to this place and we begin to examine what God is saying in our life, and we're going to bring all of this back in tune, we have to understand that wisdom will close the gap. Wisdom doesn't push us from God, but it draws us to God. Let me give you the last thing is this. Proverbs chapter 1, all the way back in verse 1, it says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, the king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline and to help them understand the insights of the wise. The purpose is to teach people to live a disciplined and successful life and to help them to do what is right and is fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser, and let those with understanding receive guidance. The last thing that I believe we begin to see when our life becomes in tune is that all of a sudden the excuses of our life are eliminated. Wisdom eliminates the excuse. It says for the young, it begins to give discernment and insight. For those with understanding, it begins to give direction and purpose. And so no matter the stage that you're in, you might be a new believer and you are literally a week into serving the Lord. Or you might have been doing this for decades now. Whatever it might be, the enemy would love to use, if nothing else, excuses. Things to hold us back, things to prevent us from becoming everything that God desires for us to be. But I love that at the very beginning of the book, and I know we kind of worked our way backwards today, but I love at the very beginning of the book, it cancels every excuse. Everything is gone. What is the excuse? My family, you don't understand. Well, it's not an excuse, because wisdom, there is a wisdom that comes from God that can overcome that circumstance. But yeah, but you don't understand my job or my spouse or my kids or my struggle that I've been in. You don't get it. No, we do. And we know that those things are very real and they've been difficult. But the reality is that wisdom can bring our life into tune in such a way that now all of a sudden, the things that were once a hindrance to who we felt God was calling us to be, or pushing us and propelling us towards the purpose he had for us. Look, today for you, my prayer is this, is that as we walk through these next few weeks, we would allow the Lord, through divine wisdom, to bring our life into tune, that the gaps in our life would begin to be closed, that the excuses would be removed, and that the unhealthy fear in our flesh would be redirected to a healthy reverence and fear of his holiness. Wakes up every day and says, God, if I could give you my life, I would lay it all down. Lord, if I could, whatever you ask, you can have. Lord, we love you today, and we pray that your family is safe on this Sunday and that you're with those that you love. But our prayer for you is this, is that you would have wisdom, that you would gain and grow in understanding in these next few weeks as we dive into this 31-day devotional and you're in a circle. And man, it just means the world to us that you're not only watching today, but that you're a part of Legacy House. But let's grow in wisdom together. Let's allow the Lord to tune our lives. Can I pray for you today as we close this time together? Father, we love you. God, we give you praise and we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor for all that you're doing. Lord, bring our lives into tune. God, let us, God, sound the way that you've created us to sound. Father, we thank you today for what you're doing. God, we thank you for protection and for safety. Lord, we thank you that your hand is on this church, God, and what's happening. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for wisdom. God, we thank you that you know more than us, God, that you've seen everything, you've experienced everything, you've walked through everything, God, so that we wouldn't have to. God, today we ask for that wisdom. Lord, we ask that it move in our life. Father, we love you and give you praise. In Jesus' name pray, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.